David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and saviour. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." Let's bow our heads and pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the relevance of your word to every generation. Thank you that you are unchanging. And thank you that we, even in those words, see our own need and know that you are the answer to that need. And so we gather this morning to worship in Jesus' name. We thank you for our Saviour, your Son, who you sent to rescue us. May we know your presence in a very special way. Thank you, Lord, you promised to be here with us to meet these needs that we have. Make us conscious, yes, of the need, but more conscious of your presence, of your power and what you are able to do. You've been with us, Lord. You are with us. We are confident that you will continue to be with us as we go forward with you. Give us the faith to press on together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Only time we've come through, we're here, and I wanted to take this notion, this whole concept of the strong deliverer. Psalm 144 verse 2 says, "He is my loving God, my stronghold, my deliverer." What we read out of verse 2 of 2 Samuel 22, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." And from Genesis to Revelation, God is recognized as that, the great deliverer. Noah finds God delivers him from the fury and the devastation of the flood. Israel is delivered from the terrors and the awful bondage of Egyptian slavery. And David is so confident in this. He says, "Hey, he's gone down to take lunch to his brothers and for his friends in the army. And he sees this Philistine giant and he shouts, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" 1 Samuel 17. And he did. Because you know what happened? Stones from the brook, a sling and a shot, and the giant comes tumbling down. Daniel was delivered in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered in the fiery furnace. God delivered them all because deliverance is this recurring theme. And if you glance at the Psalms, you will feel all the emotions that we express time and time again. Joy and sorrow, frustration and thanksgiving, doubt and faith, hope and despair, agony and ecstasy, trust and complaining, prayer and praise. And in it all, God will be the great deliverer. Here's Psalm 107. "They cried to the Lord in all their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. It's interesting to me to know how you can use this word deliver. The ever-increasing demands of this 21st century life pressure us, challenge us. And we need to know that God is a never-ending source of strength and courage and help and deliverance when we call upon him. Look at those horrendous scenes of devastation. They're filling the pages of our newspapers and our television screens. They are impressing themselves upon us because of the images we see. Somebody was describing what was happening there in California, an Armageddon experience. Everything burning up in front of their eyes. It's exactly what happened in Australia a year or so ago. And those bushfires driven by those Santana winds. Hundreds of homes destroyed, lives being lost, the sky swirling mass of red sparks and flame, the air clogged, thick, acrid smoke, fumes, flames. So they're even feeling it on the East Coast. It's all gobbling up the surrounding land. And the view from the air has shown us something of the ferocity and the intensity and the vastness of that firestorm. But that hasn't been it. Not only it. What about the battering of the floods, of the devastation in Germany, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, streams, rivers and lakes that couldn't cope with the volume of water and the torrential rain. Did you see the pictures in China, in Henan, of the underground? Of people locked in the underground train, and the doors wouldn't open, and the train couldn't move, and the water just kept coming. It was up to their waist, and then they were just getting their heads above the water. We're seeing all sorts of things going on. And how's the Olympic Games going? It's being threatened with a tsunami-type typhoon that's lurking just off the coast. If only we could see our world as God sees it. Because we look at that and we say, devastation on every hand. But you know, I'm a pastor. And I see men and women. I see the young and the old. And I see those without Christ. And those who don't know him. And those who've turned away from him. I hear my politicians. And nobody wants to call a day of prayer anymore. And they have a conference with the second largest group of churches in our land, the Methodist Church. What did they discuss this past week? How to have same-sex marriages in the churches. Not a word about seeking God to deliver our land from its godlessness and its waywardness. Think of people you know. Think of a friend. Think of a neighbor. Think of an associate. Even maybe think of a family member. And they're living without God. When they close their eyes for the last time, that will be it. Lost forever. And I wanted to come and as we start afresh to remind you that we have a God who can transform not just our lives but our community with whatever the devastation is that's happening. and transform things by his power and by his work. And he'll do it in us, and he will do it through us, because he is the strong deliverer. Let me show you three things. You can use the word deliver, and it means that you'll bring something to someone. Boy, didn't we learn that in the beginning? They would deliver the groceries to you. Whether it was a car door, whether it was Tesco, or you could get a delivery spot. And then on the end, Deliveroo came along. I have someone I know well. He was a taxi driver. Made nothing taxi driving until just a couple of months ago. He started delivering fish and chips and delivering Chinese for the local fish shop and for the local Chinese. Making more, he says, working from 6:30 to 9:30, 10 o'clock, than what he was making as a taxi driver. What a world we're living in. But he was delivering something to someone. And do you know what the Bible tells me? You know, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I earned my first bike by delivering newspapers. Do you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't read the newspaper for the folk I was delivering to. They had to read it for themselves. I delivered the news, and I never knew that God was going to keep me in the same job, because that's all I'm doing. I'm not riding a bike now, but I'm still delivering the news, this wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's up to people to accept it and to receive it and make that news their own. I look at the Lord Jesus and I see how he swapped the glory and the splendor of heaven for that grimy stable and that manger bed, and he exchanged the worship of angels in order to hang on a cross with a couple of criminals on either side of him. Strange, so strange. He was God, yet he slept on a bed of straw. He humbled himself. He was commanding angels. And he started clutching Mary's little finger. He held the universe in his hands. And he allowed Roman soldiers to drive nails through his hands, his wrists, and so on. He came from limitless eternity in order to be confined in time so he could be like us. And any stop along the way, he could have said, that's enough. That's it. He could have turned and he could have walked out on the human race, but he didn't, because he loved us. Because Jesus did what love does. And to deliver us from sin and our crass stupidity, he came to bring us this wonderful gift, to deliver to us the gift of salvation. That God's love is bigger and better than anything we can ever imagine. It is too big to comprehend, and his love remains unchanged, no matter how the inevitable disappointments and setbacks that the pandemic has brought have come our way. Know this, I wanted to tell you, in case somewhere down the line others have pushed this idea and this thought out of your thinking. God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for us. You see the woman here? Do you see her? She's standing in a circle. And the men around her making up that circle are the religious leaders, the self-appointed custodians of conduct. She's been cheating. She's been caught in the act of adultery. And now she's a public spectacle. And nothing can hide her shame. And people will talk, and heads will turn, and other women will whisper, "She's an adulterer." And the talk is about stoning her, because that's what the law demands. "Jesus, what on earth are you doing?" And he is writing in the sand. I don't know what he wrote. Nobody does. Then he speaks. He says, "Anyone here who's never sinned, you can throw the first stone." You hear them? Stones falling to the ground. And men walking away, not saying a word. And then he talks to the woman. "Woman, where are they? Has no one judged you guilty?" "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now. Leave your life of sin." Go on. Do you know how God reacts when you and I fail? Do you know what you will see him doing? Watch carefully. Because he is writing. He's leaving a message. And it's not in the sand, but it's upon a cross. And to deliver men and women, Jesus brings something special: forgiveness, peace with God, salvation. He gives up the crown of heaven for the crown of thorns, so that he can bring to us, he can deliver to us the gift of salvation. And when you receive him into your heart and in your life, you know what he is? He is the strong deliverer. Here's my second. To deliver means to give birth to new life. I don't know what they call it now, it's maternity. But they had a delivery room. It was an integral part of the maternity unit. And there's an absolutely astounding story in chapter 3 of John. And there's a man there called Nicodemus, a man who has spent hours debating with his fellow religious leaders the minutiae of the Pharisaic laws. It was his job. He had dedicated his life to understanding the law. He had all the necessary credentials. And then he heard somehow about this guy from Nazareth, what he was doing. And I don't know whether he was there when Jesus sorted out what was going on in the temple. I don't know that. All I know is that Nicodemus's colleagues must not know what he planned to do, because they just wouldn't understand. So it is, he slips unseen through the dark, cobbled, winding streets one night so he can meet Jesus personally. Did Nicodemus expect some kind of conversational chit-chat? He didn't get it. Jesus just said, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And all the good things Nicodemus had done, and all the hard work and all the activities in the religious realm were not enough. His best wouldn't do, his good deeds didn't count. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. Has he got to put everything into reverse and start all over? How can a man be born again? So that rooftop conversation continues. And Jesus mentions the wind. You can't see it. You feel it. It's blowing up the valley. It's rippling the water. And so on. He says, and that's how the Spirit comes. How God works. And his power works like that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And he can say, how can this be? And so you have that explosive John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How he loves, how he gives, how we believe. And as a consequence, how we get life. Salvation is not what we achieve, it's what we receive. A new birth, a new life. And that's the moment we discover again his strong deliverer. Strong deliverer. He gives me a power to face all of life's demands. He gives me a peace that my mind can't grasp. It surpasses all human understanding. And he goes with me on my journey through this life. And he's approachable and his invitation is open to everybody. And he comes to live within us. And when that happens, that's the moment we are born again. It so happens that Nicodemus was around when he was put on a cross, and he helped his friend Joseph of Arimathea to take the battered, bruised, bleeding body of the lifeless Christ and put it in a tomb. As some kind of last act of devotion and duty. And he was there on Easter Day. I don't know where he was, but I'm going to imagine he heard the news that Jesus was alive and that the tomb was empty, and he had a smile. He had a smile on his face because he'd learned about the new birth brings deliverance. Here's my last. To deliver, and I think this is the way most of us would translate the word deliver, it means to save someone from a terrible situation. I think we have to discover that God is a never-ending source of strength and help and courage as we call on him. It gives us strength. The demands that the pandemic has put upon us have been challenging, to say the least. Let me tell you a joke. I think it's a joke. It's about a guy who goes to the doctor complaining that he's got severe headaches, so stop smoking. So he did, but he still had the headaches. Lose weight. So he did, but he still had the headaches. Stop drinking alcohol. So he did, but he still had the headaches. And you know what the problem was? He was wearing a size 15 collar and he had a 16 and a half inch neck. He was strangling himself. That's why he got the headaches. Do you know, there's poetic language in the Bible. Every one of us faces strangling situations at some time or other, death, illness, family problems. It looks like an earthquake. The poetic language of Psalm 46. The earth gives way, the mountains fall into the sea, the waters roar and foam. The instinct, I've got to run from this. No, 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 no. Be still and know that I am God. I'm there, an ever-present help. It's something I have to acknowledge. I'm not being passive. I'm not being lazy. I'm not going to quit. He's there. That's what Joseph must have felt. Abused by his brothers, sold into slavery, badly treated, misrepresented in Pharaoh's homes, but all the good he's done. And then, who was the deliverer? God delivered him, and he delivers the nation. And when the brothers talked to him, he said, "Do you know, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good." And every human life, yours, mine, is a tapestry of events. And some of them are good, and some of them are not so good, and some of them are even tragic. But whatever the challenge, whatever the trouble, God can handle it, and he will. Remember when they were confronted by the Red Sea? What's the noise? What's the noise? It's the hoofbeats. It's the hoofbeats. It's the Egyptian army is coming. It's the Red Sea in front of us. It's the army behind us. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. And they hear the hoofbeats. They're paralyzed with fear. Move on. Move on. Why? Moses has got in his hand the very answer. The stick, the rod, with it he'll part the waters of the Red Sea. And they'll go through to safety. And then there'll be a song and a dance. Miriam and the ladies, they'll take the tambourines. And there'll be a dancing in the desert. But why? Because of the strong deliverer. Jesus goes to a wedding in Cana. And the host is faced with a calamity. It was something of a social disgrace in the culture of that time for the wine to run out. And they fill the water pots. And the strong deliverer is there. And the water turns to wine. The disciples are about to drown in a storm on the lake. And he's there, the strong deliverer. In the storm, the hungry crowd of 5,000 men. We haven't counted the women and the children, and they're hungry. So, so hungry. A little boy's lunchbox in the hands of the strong deliverer will feed them all. Where's your best friend, Jesus? Oh, Lazarus is in the tomb. Is that why you're crying? Because Jesus wept. Now that's not all he did. He shouted, "Lazarus, come on out." The strong deliverer was there, and Lazarus came walking out. The strong deliverer. Whatever we need in the days ahead, we're going to need the strong deliverer. Whatever you need personally, you need the strong deliverer. And you will find he's right there, right next to you. Did you pick up what happened off the coastline of Scotland some time ago now? The storm, the sailing yacht crushed on the rocks, little boy swept up. One of the boys in the family swept up onto the rocks. They found him the next morning. The rescuers were looking for him. They found him the next day. And somebody asked him a question. Were you afraid? Were you afraid? Fancy asking a boy like that. He lost his mom, his dad, his brother. I think his sister too. He's alone on the rock. Did you tremble? Oh, he said, I trembled. I trembled all night, but the rock didn't. The rock didn't. And I came to tell you, Jesus is the rock, the strong deliverer. And no matter how much you tremble, he'll be there. He'll be there. God go with you. Smile on you. Make your blessing wherever you go this coming week. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you never, ever stop. And you never, ever will. You will always be the strong deliverer. So grant your blessing on us as we journey on our way. For absent friends and family, we commit them to you. Those who need a touch of healing and help, may they know that blessing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your great love, power and blessing of the Holy Spirit himself, be with each of us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.